After your season as captain with 30 appearances that year, the following year, only one game starting and two as a replacement.
Yeah, that
was injury presumably.
That was when I first tore my cruciate ligaments in my knee, and up until then I'd had some cartilage problems with my one knee, and that was the season that I tore my ligaments and was out for pretty much the whole season really. Got back the following season again, I think, sort of like played a handful of games.
Nine.
Yeah, and then the same knee and the same ligament gave in again. And that's when sort of like the specialist starts to have a different type of conversation with you. One that wasn't, oh, we'll get you back playing soon. One that was more of the, have you thought about what you're going to do after rugby type of conversations.
And had you?
No. Not at all, because I think, what would I have been, 28, 29? You know, and you're in the professional area, you're sort of like, your contract's being renewed, and you know, you think, oh, I'd get over this injury and then come out the other side and then forget about it. And then it is a massive shock to the system when, you know, all of a sudden you are being told, well, you'll get over it, but whether you'll get back on a rugby pitch again is a different case. And I think I went through the low that a lot of, not even professional sports people, that a lot of sports people go through when they have to give up a sport that they love, of feeling sorry for themselves and thinking the whole world's against you and what have you done wrong, you know, why you? But then, you know, it's part of life. You know, at the end of the day, I actually ended up looking at it that I couldn't go on and play rugby for the rest of my life. So I turned it from a negative into a positive and looked at, okay, this gets me an opportunity to get into coaching ahead of my time. You know, get into coaching and management a lot earlier than I should be, which in effect, you know, by the time I was 30, I was team manager down here and director of rugby at Cinderford Rugby Club. You know, so while that was young, I looked at upon it as getting a head start on a lot of other people that were still playing rugby that ultimately would be finishing at some stage anyway.
What was the sort of balance between learning those new roles, you know, on the job as opposed to doing formal training for them?
I think the hardest thing to realise when you become involved on the management side of things is you have got to sit on the opposite side of the fence to the players. You know, there is a fine line, but ultimately the players have to understand that you are now management and you're not one of them. You know, you can communicate with them, you can have the same banter, but it will always be up until a certain point. And that's hard to learn, hard to communicate, both from a player's point of view and from your point of view, because, you know, you're very quickly, you know, poacher turned gamekeeper. You know, last season I was on their side having the banter, you know, trying to pull the ball over the coaches and the management side, and you know, I was one of the ones to the front of doing that. All of a sudden, you know exactly what they're going to do and you're trying to head them off at the pass. So it was difficult, but then, you know, it was a case of, it was a different challenge. You know, it's a different challenge, and it's how you take those challenges on. You know, you can either decide not to take them and pack in completely, or take them on and learn from your mistakes. There were a lot of mistakes, but I enjoyed learning.
Yeah. And how's that gone since?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had 4 years as team manager at Gloucester, which was fantastic, working with the likes of Philippe and Nigel Melville and Dean Ryan, those type of guys, which was really, really enjoyable, and made a lot of friends.
Tell us about them.
I think we touched on Philippe earlier from a team management point of view. Again, I suppose it's a frustration because perhaps he didn't understand the RFU, and there was always a lot of confrontation because Philippe was frustrated because he wanted the best team for Gloucester. And then you had, you know, I can remember some of the conversations with Clive Woodward that I would have, because Philippe didn't want to talk to him because he was so pissed off that, for instance, he wanted James Forrester. You know, and of course, England, your country comes calling and the player wants to go, whereas obviously Philippe, you know, Philippe wanted the success for the club out here. So, you know, that they were challenging times. And then you had Nigel Melville come along that was completely the opposite end of the scale, you know. So, I suppose, experienced it in...
How do you mean on the opposite end of the scale?
Well, because Philippe was focused on everything on the pitch and didn't really, because he had just come from a player, didn't really understand what went on off the pitch. All he wanted to know that he had a team of 22 ready for that pitch on the Saturday. Wasn't interested in how the team got there, what, you know, what was going on, what country wanted to pull what player away. He just wanted his best players there, whereas Nigel come along with the experience of managing the off-the-field stuff as well, you know, with managing the international call-ups, the sevens call-ups, with knowing, you know, how the team should travel and the accommodation, the pre-seasons and things like that. So, yeah, and I think it was just the stage that both guys were in. Philippe was just starting on his coaching path. Nigel was an established coach, had come from Wasps. So, you know, they were different eras of their coaching career. You know, both interesting, both learned masses in you know, lots of different ways from the pair of them.
And Dean Ryan?
And Dean Ryan. No, I can remember Dean, obviously, when Nigel moved on and Dean became in charge. Again, very similar. It's always difficult to talk about Dean because he's one of my best friends still. You know, when quick story about Dean Ryan, when I first heard he'd come to the club, we talk about Ken Nottage's door always being open. I can remember storming into his office, you know, sitting down in front of him and saying, "Ken, what is this club doing employing Dean Ryan?" You know, I was so anti-Dean, only from the perspective of having played against him and encountered his right hand and left hook on many occasions. You know, I didn't like the bloke. You know, outright, and we laugh about this now. You know, I did not like the guy, and I thought fundamentally he wouldn't be right for this club. And I can always remember Nigel Melville saying, because at the time Nigel had worked with Dean with the England 21s, and Nigel was saying, "You're remembering Dean the player. Get to know him as Dean the person and the coach." And I was like, "Nah, you know, my bloke's an asshole. I'm never gonna like him." Anyway, he come on board and we toured Durban in South Africa. I was team manager, Dean was forwards coach. And I have to say, probably within about 4 or 5 days, we've become training partners. You know, we socialised together, and you know exactly what Nigel had said: know the bloke off the pitch, and he's a different person altogether. And you know, to this day, we still remain in contact and extremely good mates. But yeah, we always quite often banter the fact that, you know, I stormed into Ken saying, "Do not employ this bloke," and then he comes along, and we end up best of mates. But again, Dean. Great coach.
So what was your take on why it went off the rails here?
How long have we got? No, I think it's difficult. I truly believe that any head coach has a certain lifespan at any one club. And I think, I'm not sure how many years Dean had been here. I think it was 7 in total in charge. You know, I think personally, you know, sort of like 4 or 5 years at any one club is when you're at that level. And you know, there were so many things going on in the background that all had effects upon the club that, you know, I think Dean would be the biggest one to say it is time, it's right to move on. I think to a certain degree, perhaps he was a victim of his own success, because he had become so successful when he very first took it on. You know, when you look at most people taking things on, there's generally a 2 or 3 year buffer period where they finish mid-table, or you know, they're building, then they have a fantastic season and they build off the back of that. Dean came along and took charge, and they were in the top 3 year one, top 3 year two, top three, you know, and then all of a sudden the expectations were, if you weren't in the top three, it was a bad season. You know, where it had gone from a mid-table straight to that, and you know, then all of a sudden it was like, well, we've got to stay at this level all the time. Well, there's only ever one team that can win, you know. People forget that, and I know, you know, everybody wants the best for their team, but there's only ever one that can win it, you know, and all the rest are always competing second, third or fourth. You know, finishing second, is it any different to finishing fifth? You still qualify for Heineken, you know, you still qualify for all the major competitions. Yet if you finish fifth, it was deemed not a successful season. If you finish second, it was, oh yeah, it was a good season.
Yeah. It sounds as though you really enjoyed being team manager here.
I did, and again, it goes back down to it's my hometown. You know, I'm a Gloucester boy through and through. I love playing for the club, and I love managing the club off the pitch as well. And you're involved in professional sport. You know, at the end of the day, I talk to a lot of guys now, and you know, my advice to them is enjoy it for as long as it lasts. And if you can make it last that little bit longer by getting into coaching or getting into management, do it. You know, because you're a long time working. You're a long time, you know, having to, you know, in my case, fortunately, run a business or, you know, working for somebody else where you don't get taken to places all over the world. You know, you don't get that kind of opportunity when you're not in professional sport.